What's up, guys? This is a new episode of Mimosa and Suya. You know, it's your co-host, Sasula. And I'm here with a very, very special guest. His name is Mr. Uyi Omori, better known as Tony, but I'll let him introduce himself. Welcome.
Hello, Dr. Love.
Hello. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. I can't complain. Another day, right? I mean, I appreciate the fact that you could bring me up here to really have a conversation with you. I look forward to it. I've always asked you about it, you know, so I guess this is finally the time to get to chop it up with you, you know, so I'll see how this goes.
Okay, well, yes. You know, we always like our special guests, and in fact, a lot of our audience really like when we have another male perspective on the show. So thank you for coming, and I hope you're ready for the heat, okay? You can get hot in the kitchen.
Yeah, so I think you can actually call me a fan, right? Because the what's unique about me was the fact that I had to go through the entire catalog of
That is very true.
So I felt, you know what? Let me know what Mimosa and Suya is all about. Whether there's a lot of red pepper in it.
Yes.
I wanted to know the onions. Is it red onions or white onions they use for their suya? You
know, yes. Okay. So, audience, what he was saying is that he did. He listened to all of our recordings from the beginning to the end. He was a very avid and constant supporter.
I need a reward for that, basically.
You should. We'll think about it. We'll see what we can come up with. Yeah. Maybe we'll get our first t-shirt.
I like that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. We like to honor all of our supporters from day one. So, I think, which is, of course, is always a hot topic, that we come across in our day-to-day life is basically dating, right? You know, there's been a lot of spaces now that are open. Ah, this side already, what happened?
No, it's okay.
We didn't even start now. You're already saying.
You and I know what it is.
Okay, you know? Okay. That's what we are talking about. We're going to talk about
it. The streets is still the streets.
The streets is still the streets. But what I've been becoming more interested in now, actually, you are the one that introduced me to this, is Clubhouse. There's a large African, specifically Nigerian community on Clubhouse.
Popping.
And oh my goodness, guys, if you guys are not on Clubhouse and you're Nigerian, you have no idea what you are missing. It is constant entertainment. 24 hours of pure boss boss.
Shout out to you.
Shout out. So, what is a constant topic is feminism, right? And if there's a place of it, is there's a place for feminism in the Nigerian structure, in our culture, right? A lot of the Nigerians that I come across are pretty much in the diaspora, in America, in Canada, in
UK,
in the UK, and there's actually a large
Europe
population.
Europe entirely, basically.
Yeah, in Europe.
Canadian countries as well.
Yeah, in China, there's actually a large population of Nigerians in Brazil as well. Mm-hmm. So what is usually the hot topic is, you know, feminism and how it has no place in the Nigerian traditional culture. So what says you, Mr. Uyi? Do you think that this is true? Do you think that Nigerians are expected to uphold this very traditional standard of marriage, of woman and men dynamic? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I'm just going to go straight for the jugular.
Okay.
I'm going to say this, right? Modern day feminism, it's not about equality anymore, air quotes, if I should use that word. It's more about taking advantage. That's how I say it.
Taking advantage of what specifically?
Of the system.
Which system?
The one that we live in right now.
Okay, specific to America.
However, even in Nigeria, it's still the same thing. If any feminism of modern day is trying to infuse itself into the Nigerian system, it's not trying to be equal, it's trying to take advantage. Because at the end of the day, I'm just going to give one statistic that is totally, people don't really know.
Okay.
Is that equal pay is already a part of the Nigerian government system for decades.
Okay.
And that's what people don't know. That the money you pay a lady, a woman in Nigeria, mm-hmm. in the federal government,
is the same money you pay a man doing the same job in the federal government.
Okay.
So that's something that people don't know. People just think Nigeria is kind of like, oh, this patriarchy, and how it's more like...
But it is a patriarchy.
Of course, but it's a patriarchy that is unique to only family, right? So now, as a family system, right, okay, it's patriarchy that rules. But beyond that, it's still what it is. Everybody have to go out there and do what they have to do, mm-hmm, and get your money up for your family eventually. Mm-hmm. You know, so that still stays, and I think it's only right that we stay true to who we are, you know, instead of trying to push a narrative that we don't even have an understanding of, because it's a new concept. It's not something that has been for up to a century, I don't mm-hmm think so. So at the end of the day...
Well, just clock the century. Are you talking about specifically feminism?
Yeah, just,
rights?
Yeah, just the feminism that we...
So it clocked 100 years in 2020.
Okay.
Well, so specifically in America, let's just say specifically in America, with Susan B. Anthony, with women's suffrage, and stuff of that nature.
Yeah, but one thing that we fail to realize is that even in Nigeria, I'm actually going to speak more on the Nigerian concept.
Okay.
Because I'm the one who... Pretty much, I was born and brought up over there in Nigeria, mm-hmm, you know. So, from that concept, I think we would be able to have different perspective,
okay,
and still be able to, you know, be at peace with what is and what isn't, because mm-hmm it is what it is. You know, we can only do our best and give what we think, we believe, or we try to think is the best option for the. Progress of humanity, right, basically. You know,
so I mean, because I'm not familiar necessarily with the laws in Nigeria, mm-hmm, but I guess what I can compare it to, what my references would be, equal pay in America. So similar, I guess, to Nigeria, there by law you're not supposed to discriminate pay, access to opportunities, with any discrimination based on sex, orientation, race, blah, 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 right? However, we know in reality, right, that that is not the case. There's no way you can necessarily enforce human behavior. There's going to be only so much that the government can do. Like, even now, there's constant studies that show that there is a pay difference in between sexes, between race, and all facets of between administrative and entry-level jobs, right? So that's my best reference as to how I can compare it to America. I'm not sure in Nigeria if there is like a system of enforcement for equal pay amongst the sexes, amongst men and women. But I know that in America, you know, there's still a lot of discrepancy about what is said on the books, what is allowed in law, and what is actually applied in real life.
So from what you're saying, in essence, you're talking about equality of opportunity and how it relates to the equality of outcome.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, even though we say in this system that we have on the books, again, no one can should discriminate, or it's against the law to discriminate against men and women. However, when we see the studies of what actually is happening in real life, there are still discrepancies. There are still certain groups in society that have more opportunities, or have different pay scales, or different pay access to wealth compared to other groups. And that's, and I mean, obviously the discrepancy between Caucasian Americans and African Americans is still very, very huge. And even more so between Asian Americans and African Americans, which are both immigrant groups. But again, there's supposed to be "quote unquote" no discrimination against amongst the sexes. So, in theory, there should be a more equity of outcomes in those groups. But again, like, there's no way to truly enforce certain aspects of human behavior, which is why it's going to be a constant conversation.
Because we are only reflecting on the outcomes, right?
You don't think that the opportunities that are presented is not a reflection of the outcomes?
I think if you would say, because I heard you say something about the law and how it is
stated that there shouldn't be any discrimination as regards to anything that, I mean, in terms of the American system, right?
Yeah.
Discrimination is not, it's an unlawful act, right?
Correct.
So basically under those constructs, right? And we understand the American system to be one of the best, one of the greatest society that has, it's just like, for me personally, I think that we are living in a very privileged society, to be honest.
I mean, yes, privileged in the world, absolutely.
I think we are the most privileged human beings that has ever lived on earth. That's how I see it, right? Okay. I think that we've been given so much opportunities that most of our forefathers would dream of. I think for them, this is the utopia.
Right.
You know, so
right, it's all relative. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So based on that, you know, as much as that is the case, we also know that human beings, we are pretty much insatiable. So it's also one of these, also we can also look at it from a perspective that we'll always try to yearn for more. And those who have the willpower to push their own narrative is what will eventually manifest itself, right? Mm-hmm. So based on that, and looking at what the American system has been able to bring forth as what is right now, right? Mm-hmm. We can pretty much say that they've put forward the best structure, right, to help with this egalitarian society that we all want to look forward to, where everybody has the right to have what they want, or have the right to feel equal to the next man. You know, all men are equal under law, right?
Mm-hmm.
So based on that, they've put forth a proper constitution, right? Constitutional right for human beings, right?
Right.
And based on that, the manifestation of what is now what we have right now, right? Where there's a discrepancies in some sectors and some aspects of, I don't know, I'm trying not to go in a tangent, right? Because for me personally, what it all boils down to is the outcome for what it is. And I think at some point we should be able to appreciate the outcome for what is without trying to be too, what's the word I'm going to use now, right? Like trying to look at it from, can you give me something that helps you do, like try to denigrate it, right? If there's another word for it. You know,
I mean, I think let's just even give the benefit of doubt for the forefathers, right? When they set up the constitutions and the amendments and stuff like that, they were hoping for a more perfect society.
Sorry.
But what I'm saying is, with human experiences, with history, there's going to be change. And one credit that I do give the United States for is that there is a womb or system that puts in place to make it change to keep up with society, right? But I might have to give you some pushback on what you said before in terms of like giving credit, quote unquote, to the system in that regards, because I do think that comes from a position of privilege as a man. Like if you are not in the receiving end of some of the some of the perceived oppression, specifically from a woman's standpoint, then you think that I'm just saying that it come across that the perceived outcomes we should be grateful for, but there is still room for improvement, and there are systems put in place to have those improvements. So like it's difficult for the hunter to now tell the prey, like, oh, you should be grateful that you were hunted, but we never know the prey's story. And so that's saying that's
so who's
basically
the prey?
I'm saying in the case of women's rights and women's equity, right?
Yeah, so women are the prey, is that what you're saying?
In this case, yeah. I mean if women were in positions of power, or if women didn't have to like basically lobby for their rights, we wouldn't have this discussion now, because it would have already been. The point is that even in the forefathers, in the beginning of the birth of America, right, there was, as perfect as they thought that it could be, we still had to change with the times as we gathered more information, as we, you know, as we evolved as a society, which is normal, which is to be expected. But to not like give yourself or give someone a pat on the back because we've come so far, it's like, that's great, but we can do better. and we are always going to see
you. I am so shocked with what you're saying. You know why I'm shocked?
Yeah.
Because I think you've broken this down to just one thing only, and you've broken it down to only gender. And that's why I feel that is very wrong. But it's okay.
We're talking about feminism, so it's based on gender.
I know. Regardless of that, at the end of the day, if you want to base the feminism that you're talking about, right, and how it is being approached in the Scandinavian countries, right, how does it reflect itself there? Based on how you think feminism should be and how it should be, it is, how it should be and how it is, and how it is bringing out itself in terms of like the outcome of what is, how is it going on over there in these Scandinavian countries? Do you have any idea, or would you like me to give you an insight on it?
I would love insight on it.
Okay, cool. Let me give you an insight.
But I just want a preference because I think we're working on two different definitions of feminism.
Yeah, for me, I think that feminism, right, is like, it's pretty much like an ideology, right?
What is feminism?
For me personally, what I thought feminism was always going to be is women thinking they were, women having this perception of oppression, right? And believing that they are supposed to not feel that way as against the men, basically, right? Like,
no, but what's the definition of feminism?
To be honest, I have no idea.
Okay.
Right
and,
now.
And to be fair, most people don't.
The reason why I'm saying I don't understand what it is because there's chaos. That's why I cannot give you a specific definition. But if you have one that you think works from your perspective as a woman,
well,
I'd love to hear it. That's okay. My point.
Well, wonderful. Well, the definition of feminism is equity amongst sexes.
Not equality, right?
Equality.
It's very unique. Equity, I mean, and equality are totally different.
Two different things, yes. But specifically equity amongst the sexes.
Not equality, right?
Sure, not equality. But aspects of feminism that you can also possibly interchange equity with equality.
Well,
now, but I will say, I do agree.
Neither here nor there.
Right, but I do agree that there may be some extremists, like with any movement or with any with any group, they're going to be extremes on both ends. But the idea, I really can't imagine most men who has mothers, who have sisters and aunts that do not want their loved ones who just happen to be female to not have the same opportunity they have simply because of their female.
But if you look at you personally, right?
Okay.
I know you through Mimosa and Suya, right?
Yeah.
I've known you a couple of, you know. So, from your perspective, do you think you're privileged as a woman?
I believe as a woman, I have certain privileges.
Okay.
Yeah.
That most men would dream of.
Oh, I don't know if you guys dream of. That I cannot answer to. I don't know.
So basically, at the end of the day, there are so many nuances that goes into these conversations where we can't just break it down to just what is, which is gender, right? Because if we're going to deal with it based on gender, then we can definitely just say pretty much that equality of opportunities amongst gender is what the feminism ideology should be about, right?
That's what it is about, though.
Great. So based on that, we all know that the Scandinavian countries are the forefront pushers of feminism in terms of institutionalizing it, right?
Right.
Yeah, so if they've been able to do that, right, do you know that the statistics still shows that there are still more female teachers, still more female nurses, still more male engineers?
Yeah, but
still more. So pretty much,
there are also still more late women in politics in any other country. They're more likely to be presidents and prime ministers of those countries. And even as progressive and as privileged as the United States is now, they still have a difficult time electing a female in the high position of power.
Where?
These are the
where?
What do you mean? Hillary Clinton, for example, uh-huh, who ran for president,
yes,
who had probably was the most qualified out of all the previous presidents. still had problems gathering votes simply because she was a woman.
I think that's very wrong.
Okay,
that's maybe
maybe I rephrase the statement.
Yes, because that's
a
factor.
But a large portion of it was because she was a woman, and that is fact. There have been multiple polls throughout CNN, throughout Fox News, that said, what is the drawback of Hillary Clinton? She had a very popular husband who was also president. She has a very long track record in the U.S. government. She has pushed successful bills. Yes, of course, every presidential candidate had their own dark closet, probably with the exception of Obama, who's really a unicorn, right? But that's a whole nother story. But
Is it a whole nother story because it doesn't align with your narrative?
No, I'm just saying in terms of that, he didn't have like a negative scandal that followed him. There really wasn't a lot of dirt.
There was a negative scandal that followed somebody else?
With Hillary Clinton, yes.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Yeah. So do you think Hillary Clinton is the only presidential candidate that had negative scandal that...
That's my point. She did not.
She didn't have a negative scandal.
I'm saying there were other presidential candidates that also had like bones in their closet.
Yeah, and guess what? They were not elected.
You're missing my point.
Yeah, my point is the bottom line is you're missing my point.
Another aspect of her not being elected was the fact that she was a woman, and this is nothing to be argued about. This is statistical fact. People went on multiple polls and asked multiple people in all different political parties and political standpoints that they were afraid of having a woman in a high seat of power simply because she was a woman, and that quote unquote she would be too emotional to make decisions, and that she would quote unquote do world wars or start world wars because of based on her feelings as opposed to her political track record. That's my point, and that is fact.
Okay, is it okay to accept the fact that you're pushing this narrative?
It's not pushing a narrative, it's a fact.
Is it okay that you're pushing this narrative based on confirmation bias?
Where's the confirmation bias?
Where you're choosing specifically the fact that she's a woman is one of the reasons, which is not the major reason for the first of all, because she became the presidential candidate of the Democratic Party, right?
Whether it's a major reason or not, it is one of the determining factors as to why she wasn't president.
Can you agree to that? Okay, can we both agree to the fact that if Obama was not elected as a president, we could actually use his race as a reason why he wouldn't have been the president?
He was not the first black president to run for office.
Oh, okay, great. So which means, I guess that candidate was black. That's why they didn't want him in the office.
Okay. I think sometimes we need to focus back on feminism.
Yeah, the major reason why anybody isn't elected most of the time when it comes to first world countries are not based on gender. That's my point.
That's false. Because if that is the case, then why aren't there? Are you telling me that Hillary Clinton was the only woman to ever been nominated by the Democratic Party or Republican Party? Or are there other not eligible, if it was simply based on your merit? Are you telling me that there was no other woman candidate that stepped up that matched those requirements?
Okay, so
no.
guess what?
That's my point is that there is a glass ceiling when it comes to these opportunities and women, which is why we're still pushing for that equity, which is why you're not acknowledging that fact. You're just saying that you're just dismissing really that gender doesn't play a role.
Trying to make sure you don't push the narrative that the reason why Hillary Clinton wasn't the president of America was because she was a female. That's my point.
One of the factors as to why she did not become president is because she's female.
But guess what? It wasn't the major factor.
We cannot confirm or deny that.
Yeah, that's one, fact.
Please confirm it. How can you confirm it?
So those emails, right? They came at a very strategic timing of the election period, right?
Okay.
So do you think that was based on the fact that she was a female or not? Besides that,
she was having a difficult before those emails came out. She was having a difficult time securing electoral votes, and it was because she was a woman. It was freaking Donald Trump who paid prostitutes off and said that they were going and said that he was going to grab them by the punani, okay, and the locker room conversation. This man still ended up being the president of the United States. Are you telling me over Hillary Clinton?
Over some things, I wouldn't want to go into details of what those.
Why don't you want to go into details? But my point is that he was not as qualified. He does not have any political track record against Hillary Clinton. And the only other determining factors, again, there were multiple factors that were against Hillary Clinton, but one of them, we cannot play coy that it wasn't because she was a woman. So, because that was asked in the polls, and people answered, honestly, thankfully, that it was because she was a woman, that they wouldn't think that a woman would be fit to sit at the highest seat in the country. That is fact. There is nothing to argue about that.
Okay. So how about the Prime Minister of Germany? What's her name?
Enlighten me, I don't know.
Oh, she's a woman.
Okay.
Yeah. And the previous Prime Minister of England was a woman.
Okay.
Okay, so are we going to just ignore that there are leaders who are women in this society that we're living in today?
Or are we just America or
in the world that we're living in today?
We were not comparing. Okay, the only reason why we even brought up between
I thought we're speaking based on feminism globally, right?
No, you were speaking that you were saying that look at the opportunities in Finland. That's how the conversation
got which is
the
global,
right? But I'm saying yes, even in Scandinavian countries and stuff, yes, there are more women that are happen to be teachers or take more domestic roles. But however, there are also, you see, women that are occupying positions of power that America has not even yet to achieve, even though they position themselves as world power or a world, a country, a society that should be modeled after. That's my point. That was the whole point of the conversation.
Okay, I get you, right? But do you think the responsibilities of being the president of America should be based solely on gender?
No, I do
okay,
not think great. It should be based solely on gender.
If you don't think to them, which means there's enough opportunities, right? There's enough criteria, right, that could actually make you become the president of America regardless of gender.
Yes.
Great. So we both agree on something, right? So the idea that the number of politicians we have today, right, it's based on outcome, right? So like what I'm trying to say is this, right? If you look at the stats, right, we have more men than women going into politics. So the likelihood of you having a woman becoming the leader of the first world country called America today has to come from a woman who would not just be another politician or just another person vying for the post. She would definitely be someone beyond just being a woman.
But you don't think that's a problem?
No. Why I don't think it's a problem is because we shouldn't reduce power. Power is not given, it's taken. You understand? It has always been that way from time immemorial till now, and it's not going to change forever, right? So if it's not going to be given, it's going to be taken. Any woman who gets there should never be celebrated solely based on her gender. Should be celebrated based on things that her achievement, who she is as a person, regardless of gender.
That would be wonderful if we're still not looking at firsts as women in America.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, if you say America is the forefront pusher of feminism, right?
Well, it's not. This is why we're having this conversation.
Oh, it's not?
Oh, okay. Absolutely not.
Okay, so which country do you think is the forerunner of, the front pushers of feminism globally?
I would say, the Scandinavian countries are actually more, the more embodiment of the outcome of feminism than the United States or really any other European countries. And I would like to touch a point that you brought across. You said that if a woman because she's unlikely to go into politics, according to your numbers and statistics, right? That if she does happen to attain this position of power, it shouldn't be reduced to her gender, which I agree. But the fact that she has to overcome so many barriers as opposed to a man, it's more socially accepted, or it's more socially equitable for a man to attain those positions of power proves my point of why feminism movement is important. Because the fact that a woman has to overcome those barriers just to achieve the same status as a man is the point of feminism. There should be equity amongst the sexes.
Okay, so for example, right, let's look at the female dominated sector, right?
Okay.
Do you think as a man it's okay to work harder than every other woman who is in that field to get to a highest position in the same field?
Can you give me an example?
Yeah, like for example in the makeup industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think more women, the men work harder than the women to prove a point?
No.
Or you just think they just become?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I guess we better disagree on that.
Yeah. I mean, specifically in the makeup industry, absolutely. But again, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's difficult. I think it's difficult for a man to comment on the woes or the navigation of women in society. Just because...
No, I was speaking based on a man in a woman-dominated field.
Well, I'm saying... but men still... do hold like large positions of power in the makeup industry, despite them being
not large position of power. I'm saying more positions of power.
Do attain position of power in the makeup industry, yep, even though it is a female dominated industry, is what I'm saying.
That's okay, because women do hold positions of power in the male dominated industries.
Okay, so we're saying, specifically feminism, we're trying to break down those barriers.
It was never a barrier, because at the end of the day, it's an outcome.
But who are you telling? That's what I'm saying. Who are you to decide whether or not it's a barrier? If the woman is telling you that we're having to go through these particular hurdles to get this particular outcome, and we think the only reason why we're having troubles overcoming these barriers is because simply you view me as a woman, whatever you think a woman is supposed to be.
So do you think it's okay that more women are in the nursing industry?
What do you mean if I think it's okay?
Do you think it's okay that more women are nurses than men?
I don't understand what you mean by
that. No, I'm asking, do you think it's fine? Do you think we can both live okay and be at peace with the fact that more women are nurses than men?
I really don't understand this question.
It's very straightforward. But I'm asking you a specific question.
What do you mean? Do I think it's okay?
Why
would I be?
Oh, you don't have to worry about it, right?
No, but I'm just saying, like, how does that play into the conversation?
Okay, let me tell you how it boils down to the game. You don't have to worry about it because you don't think it's necessary to even worry about it. Because after all, it is okay in your feministic ideologies, which is fine. I get it. You're kind of biased towards things that favor you. But things that do not, it's kind of like...
A nurse favoritism in the woman compared to a man?
Okay, so now, there are more women than men in the nursing industry, right?
Okay.
Great. So which means more often than not, right? Mm. There are men that would have issues trying to be nurses.
Why?
To women.
Why?
You don't think that most patients would want a woman to take care of them than a man?
Well, in my experience, I haven't had people that really care, unless it's like some sort of religious, you know, thing. Like they were like Muslim or Jewish, then something. Then would probably prefer more female physicians. But other than that, I've never encountered someone that.
I mean, you just laid and you just pretty much gave an example. Example is enough reason why if we want to create a big deal out of it, why should anybody feel there's a certain level of religious belief that will make them feel that they would prefer one gender over the other? That is unfair. How about we just say you don't have the right to choose which nurses is going to attend to you or not, regardless of gender.
As part of their religion, we're not supposed to. Society doesn't have a right to imprison someone else's religious belief.
Oh, so which means if you want to look at the Christian patriarchal structure, right? Uh-huh. So, do you feel okay with how the Christian society choose to create this gender roles for men and women alike?
I'm not okay with it.
Oh, you're not okay with it? But it's a Christian. I mean, we're speaking based on based on the fact that the religious, like the Jews, right? Like you were saying.
I said, yes, there's certain Jewish sects that only...
Yeah, based on rights from... They prefer women to take care of them, right?
Okay.
Okay, so based on their religious inclinations, right?
Correct.
Okay, cool. So don't you think those same religious inclinations apply for Christians?
Not necessarily. Even specifically...
Not necessary?
Because even in Christians, right, there's different... like,
rules for genders?
No. Well, yes, there's a rule for genders, but I'm
so
saying,
why are we having a problem with it?
Like, there's different types of Christians, right? The Baptist is different from the
okay.
From
let's
Methodist,
look at what's common between all of them.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say is that there's certain people, even in certain Christians, that do not have a problem that maybe certain other Christians do, right?
Okay, let's not deal with the exception. Let's deal with the general rule.
But I'm saying I cannot deal with the general rule. That's what I'm saying, because there's some women who are Christian, right, who don't care if they have a male or female provider, while there's certain Christians that do. Uh-huh. So I'm saying, based on my experience, that I cannot blanketly state that Christian patriarchal views on women on gender role is going to be the standard or the norm. And to counter your point, then do you think that it is quote unquote okay that there are more male police officers than there are female police officers?
I think the job descriptions that come with being a police officer,
mm-hmm.
for what it's worth,
mm-hmm.
most women would not want to be a part of it.
That's not answering my question.
Yeah, it literally answers your question.
No.
Literally.
Do you think it's okay that there are male...
What are the duties of a police officer?
There are more male police officers.
Yeah, I'm asking you, what are the duties of a police
officer? Answer my question.
I'm asking you.
Because I didn't ask you, I didn't ask you whether or not the descriptions of the nurses, is it more fitting for a woman than a man?
That's it is. But literally, that's why... The profession is fitting for people who are more caring, they are more empathetic. And you and I know that women are more predisposed to be more empathetic and more caring, right?
So that's my point.
Than men.
As a man, it's very difficult for you to look at the roles or the journey that women would have to go through to navigate through the system. Because, and it's not
how
your fault.
How many women do
I'm
you
saying,
see?
It's not
wait,
your fault. Listen, no, right, it's not wait, your fault.
It's not
you're
about
a
fault.
Man. This is what you are. This is what you are conditioned to believe, and how you think society is structured, and it has been so for the centuries, right? So now, when you have a woman, a movement of women that desires something else, it is very difficult for
you
to see that.
Hold on. Why didn't you desire to be a garbage truck
if
man?
I wanted to, I would.
No, why didn't you desire to be?
Personally, to me, I just like
you just didn't.
Exactly. Personally,
wait,
to
hold
me.
Hold on. You just didn't. Because you're okay with who you want to be, right?
Yes.
So which means we can be at peace with people choosing to decide what they want to be, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the equality of outcome.
That's not equality of outcome.
Literally, that's what equality of outcome means. Where you allow people to choose who what they want to be. And then the distribution is pretty evident in the outcomes. And that's how you see that more women choose to go for nursing than engineering field, than STEM field. Because they feel more at home or feel more predisposed to be in the healthcare sector than being in the engineering sector.
So, quick question. Do you think that if Hillary Clinton was a man, that she would have won?
If who?
Hillary Clinton was a man, do you think
she would have won? No, she wouldn't have won.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the odds were stacked against her.
Okay.
Those emails would... There's no precedent that those emails would come out for that against, as in that case.
What exactly was in the emails?
Well, I mean, I don't want to be going into the political failures of the American government under Obama's administration and how it played into the Republicans' political narrative, especially during the sensitive period of the election, right? So, if I'm sure you know what those emails were all about, so I'm not going to come here to.
Well, I mean, you're the one that keeps saying that the emails.
Yeah, because they were damning enough to not be the president of America. Period.
I'm saying outside of.
Yeah, but outside, they were damning enough to not be the president of America.
She also, that's what I'm saying, even before the emails came out.
No, but I mean,
this is my point. Even before the emails came out, even though she was way more qualified than Trump ever could be for the presidential seat, because she was a woman, and again, before those emails
came out, the polls were on her side in the first place. What are you saying?
No, for the popular vote, but there were still people.
So what are you saying then? Why are you picking
the electoral vote is what matters. Yeah, but who cares what the popular vote is?
Yeah, at the end of the day, why are you picking and choosing which part you want to push as a narrative against or for your ideas?
Well, I mean, if you let me finish, then I would explain to you what I'm trying to say. I'm saying even before the discovery of the emails, she was having difficulty securing electoral votes simply because when they ask, they say, we have a difficult time believing a woman can hold such an important position of power and obtaining the highest seat in the country. That is fact. That has nothing to do with my feelings. That has nothing to do with your
facts,
perceptions.
Facts don't care about your feelings.
As I'm saying, it has nothing to do with my feelings. Yeah, and thankfully it doesn't. The outcome is still what it says because of the lack of opportunity. Oh, that okay.
I guess Hillary Clinton I guess Hillary Clinton would be over there in his well-privileged,
if she could, if President Trump can say that he grabbed women by the vaginas and still made up to be President of the United States, who cares about, you know, what 30,000 emails that was sent over her political career? I mean, the bar has been set very, very low at that point.
Anyways, my point is this, right? When it comes to feminism, I feel women are picking and choosing on what favors them. And it's kind of unfortunate, but... Yeah, exactly.
As we should.
And then do you. But in the end of the day, you don't think that the society is going to pander towards your feelings eventually. You're just going to do what you have to do, and that's okay. Because, well, as human beings, we are predisposed to do whatever we think is right for us in the end of the day. But the outcome is still what it is. And we can evidently see it in the Scandinavian countries where women are predisposed to be in the caring, the health sector, and then the men are predisposed to be in the STEM sector. And that's okay men and women...
But guess what? If she wants to go into a position of power politically, she'd be able to...
Can you give me an instance in America where a woman wants to go into a sector and she's not allowed to?
Like I said,
I give you a specific. If you want me to repeat it again,
not,
I don't mind.
It's not because.
If you want me to, I repeat it again.
Because again, just,
do you want me to repeat it?
I don't want you to repeat
it.
Okay, great. Because I believe that your questioning is in, you know, honestly, it's gaslighting, right? Because you're saying it not allowed, right? Of course, again. In the United States,
you were using that to praise the Scandinavian countries, and yes, you can't use that to praise the American country.
I'm saying that if a qualified woman wants to enter any sector of the political market, she has a 50-50 chance with any other against a male to obtain that seat. Is my problem? Is my point? That is literally my point.
Yeah.
I don't care about the statistics of what the populace end up driving into. The point is that if a woman decides to do something that is traditionally male and attain the highest seat in that particular field, she doesn't have to worry about overcoming specifically gender to do so.
Well, Dr. Love, I appreciate what you're saying. But I think I beg to differ because
clearly we have very differing points of views.
No, it's pretty much I'm seeing things for what is and you're seeing this for what you think it is.
No,
too.
I'm saying it for what it is too. I mean, we're comparing both countries, right? I'm telling you the difference.
You pretty much just said what you said in the Scandinavian countries, right? They are given the opportunity to pick and choose what field they would like to
to be, right? They are not forced into becoming what they don't need to be, right? And I think that's the same thing in America.
I've never said that that was the case in America.
No.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you're bringing up points that has nothing to do with what we're actually talking about.
That has nothing to do with your bias and the narrative that you want to push. And that's okay. At the end of the day, I remember that when I was listening to your podcast, you always get a commercial break. I think this is the perfect time to get on a commercial break. And then we'll be right back. Let me drink some water because this thing has been hitting. Look at my forehead. I'm sweating already. Yeah? Look at me. So let me drink some water and we'll be right back.
Guys, this is Dr. Love.
Welcome back, Jade.
Yeah, so we took a quick little commercial break, but just to continue on the conversation, it is very evident that we will agree to disagree. But I think in essence, we both want the best for both men and women in society. Do you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. It's I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay. Dr. Love. Sorry. Let's continue.
I'm here for the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so basically, my own reality that I want for everybody is to understand that we all have the right to become who we want to be. And however we choose to follow that path, it's okay. Let's lead with love. You know, that's all that matters in the end of the day because... our struggles are different, you know. As an African, as a Nigerian to be precise, our struggles are uniquely different from those in the diaspora, specifically the Western world, where you know there are some things that privilege has really been the essence of the day, and it will be, I think, having that conversation of privilege today would be will take us in the long tangent. And beyond that, I think one thing that is very clear is that we all love each other, you know. And I think, and I hope that we can keep living as we've always lived in the future, in the past, and the present.
I agree with a similar sentiment. I do think that we all, at baseline, at the core of things, even through all of our banter, all of our arguments, that we do have genuine love for each other. I do think that the struggles of feminism in America or in the diaspora might be different from that in African countries, specifically Nigeria. But I do want it to be... I would hope that Nigerian men will look at feminism as less of a boogeyman or a taboo statement and more of what it is at its core. And that is just women to have equal access and equal opportunities to succeed. And that's all. That's the basis of what feminism is. And I do believe that most men would agree to that.
Yeah, maybe one day we might have to raise up the idea of masculinism.
Well, I mean, we're living in that right now, so.
No, I don't think so.
I think so. But again, we will agree to disagree.
Yeah, because we're living in a world of classism.
Classism and patriarchy.
No, classism.
Which is masculinity.
No, we are living in a world
of patriarchy, actually, not anything about it. But again, like I said, we're going to disagree, and we'll be going into many tangents. Is there any places we can follow you, Mr. Uyi?
I have nothing to be followed on. I'm a mystery man.
All right.
I'm a mysterious.
Mystery. Okay.
Until Dr. Love. Anyways, I'm good.
Well, thank you so much for joining me in this conversation. It was intellectually sparring. Guys, continue to love, support, share our contact. You can continue to follow us on all social media platforms. Mimosa and Suya on Instagram, Mimosa Suya on Facebook. And of course, you can follow me directly if you so choose on Sasu_Lens_MD. And but we'll see you next time. Means? Oh, for Instagram, like, it had like a little camera emoji. So it's like, okay, look at me through the lens of a camera. Which is Instagram. All right, guys. Until next time, peace out.